Welcome Profit Addicts to another video. Today we're talking about 9 SEO tips for 2020. It's a very interesting and hot buzzing topic, actually. let me kill the DJ voice. So this video, I guess Simon is not going to be one of those that stays relevant for a very long time, but I think as of right now, it's a very interesting topic.
Actually, it's funny because I've done SEO predictions for 2 years and I have had everything right. This is not SEO predictions. This is what you can do right now.
Yes.
So, and I'm going to start with the first tip. The first tip is like I have a few portions of the tips and the level of the tips rise. But the first one, maybe the lowest level tip, but the first thing you have to do right is write the right content for the right keyword, because right now we see a lot of changes in Google, a lot of changes all the time, and people and pages, web pages, have been ranking for all sort of keywords which they weren't supposed to rank for, and they think it's a penalty that they don't rank for it anymore, but no, they are just not supposed to rank for it.
Correct,
so there's a big change in the Google is trying to understand and roll out the BERT engine and so on. They're trying to understand the person behind the screen at home or the phone, what are they searching for, why they do they search for it, what do they want. Solve problems, give solutions, be the right content, and don't just go for keywords, go for solutions, problems, and so on.
Exactly, I really agree. Actually, we didn't sync our tip. Of tips, and both of us have it as number one right here.
So okay,
I think it's probably the best. You hear actually a lot of many YouTubers recently talk about that.
Yeah.
All right, tip number two. It kind of touches upon what Simon said, but I would say also just a little bit as an addition, add a content depth. Yes. So basically, it's not anymore so much about reaching a certain number of words on the page, or you know, like longer content ranks better, or so on and so on. It's not even that the user wants to read longer content necessarily. Mm-mm. It's more about the content being super thorough in what you're talking about.
Thorough. Yeah, it's just the right word.
Okay, yeah, exactly. So you could have, I think you actually showed me a cool website like that. I'm not going to mention whatever.
No, we can't mention
about.
It.
Yeah, obviously. But basically, we can mention it.
No, we can't.
Okay, correct. Yes, that's why I didn't even think about
it. Okay.
Yeah, cool. So it was like, if you see, it wasn't text heavy. It wasn't like big blocks of text or super
perfect content.
Yeah, it was actually thin, if you think about it, like just single sentences, but it was thorough.
It was just so.
It was great.
It was a niche topic, which is just incredibly niched.
Yeah.
But they covered. They give more information that you could ask for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So not more words than you can ask for. That's the wrong way of thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Is that they put in pro tips, quick tips, and hints and suggestions, and it's like, okay, you can really see that the author of this content is an actual expert.
Exactly.
So it did, and that site has exploded with very few pieces of content, and I'm envious as a person. And then actually, I even think that that's going to my next tip.
Nice.
Tip number three. Yeah. It's something I have made a big mistake doing, and I'm calling this lean forward content and not whatever content, like whatever. I have a blog, a travel site, and I think there's even a link to it somewhere in this YouTube channel.
Actually think it's top right on your channel.
Yeah. So it's familytravelplanet.com. There is so much content on this blog that is whatever content.
Mm-hmm.
So you read this and you're like, so what? Whereas the blogger we just talked about before is just, you read this and it's like, oh, and aha.
That's what.
Yeah. So it's like, so I need to learn more from this person because she's providing aha, you're actually learning something.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas my content was more meh.
I think that's the best way to explain it. If you read through your text and you're left with so what, then it might not be as good as you think it is, even if it's super thorough.
And also, it is indifferent.
Exactly.
And it is indifferent if you produce this kind of content, because you won't get any new subscribers, you won't gain any new follows, you won't gain any traction in nothing, because if people just bounce or don't care, it's worthless to spend the time doing that content.
Exactly.
But we have a client right now where we're doing a blog for them, and not their traffic has exploded compared to my side. But thinking backwards, we are actually solving and doing a lot of how-to-ish things, where very specific types of things. So, but all of these, even though they're like tiny and very specific long tail phrases, all article solves a problem.
Yeah, a need, a gap in the market.
So for the next one,
very, very good, Simon. Next one, I have number of links. That's number four, correct?
Yeah.
Number of links. Not number of links. I have links, and in that tip, I have number and relevancy of links. Now, here's what we can say. We can argue a little bit if they work or not. Can you rank websites without links? Definitely. For some keywords, do you absolutely need links? Yes, you do. Very competitive keywords that, for example, sell something directly, you definitely need links for those. If it's something, actually, I think this is a good definition maybe to explain it, is like in informational SEO, if you're trying to rank for long queries, let's say in featured snippet, you don't per se need links. If it's something niche, you can pop up in people also ask for. But if you're trying to rank for something that usually especially has advertisers on it, a lot of advertisers, you definitely need links for it.
So, and I actually have my next tip is a great one for building for that one. Yeah. Tip number five. And I'm calling it internal links in topic clusters. And let's say you're actually doing all these long tail queries about how something in a something you do something. So it's just like very specific, some very niche long tail. Where is it actually possible to rank without even doing that much, and if any, link building? But we found, and a lot of other companies found, that links internally from these posts, so if you rank like number zero or number one for a lot of all of these long tail, let's say 10 of them or 20 of them in a given subject, because it's so long tail, it's like a cluster. It would be clustered together as one. Could it even be long, one long tail that is very long tail into a group of content? But if all of these link to that specific long tail, which we call the hero page or the main page, the head of the topic cluster, you can call it whatever you like, we found that these links work extremely well. Okay. So banded together without links from outside sources, then I think links, I know links right now from these very specific small tiny content pieces would actually help the bigger pieces of content.
I have a question. Do you have maybe a chart where you can visualize what you just explained, how to make the cluster?
It's hard, but I'm not going to edit it in, but it's actually just like the way you visualize the topic clusters is if you have like a circle in the middle with the main page, and then you do all these. We sometimes call it the king content, and then the peasants, like as in chess. And even if you have like the king, and outside the king, you have maybe the knights and so on, and out the knights, you have the peasants around this. So it's like you build this. For the king content in the middle to rank, you have to have all the others to rank for tiny keywords.
I understand. Question, just quick question that I think other people might be wondering as well. Those pages, the peasants that link to the king, do they necessarily have links, like external links pointing to them?
No.
No, okay. See, that's interesting.
But because we can make them rank without it.
Okay, so it's more that you're saying the pages that already rank will pass more value, or at least pass some value?
In the same topic cluster.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Very good. Nice.
Tip number six.
Number six. Yeah, I have SSL, which is HTTPS, which is basically having a secure website. So first of all, one of the obvious benefits is that if you transition from an from an HTTPS website. If your users come from an HTTPS website to an HTTP site, obviously you're going to lose a lot of data from analytics because it's not going to pass the referrer. Mm. However, there's also purely directly ranking factors, right?
Yeah.
If your website is insecure, you can even get hit by Google Chrome's security issue, not just for ranking.
You cannot just visit the page today.
Exactly.
Blocked me.
Exactly. So it's really important to, because, I mean, okay, so if your website is your business, if you're writing some blog and you want to have
you
fun and whatever.
You should have SSL no matter what.
Correct. But if it's your business, then it's not even a question.
And it's incredible how many sites that doesn't have SSL.
I think it's just because it sounds technical and sounds difficult. That's why especially
a lot of hosts,
businesses
it's like a,
don't
yes,
implement it.
Activate.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for the next one is number 7, and it builds upon on the content issue, the content things we've been talking about. It's I calling it multimedia content or rich content or especially content for different kinds of consumption behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So if I make a blog post today, then if you want that post to outrank some competitors at some point, you need to put in the visuals, images along inside the content. You need maybe to do also a read it out loud button for voice something. Mm-hmm. If you have that functionality, and you can do a YouTube video about this type of content. So if I land on a page, I can decide if I want to read it, to scroll like directly to. Sometimes it's not like funny to watch like a video of this 20 minutes about some dudes talking of their about some crap, but sometimes it's just you just want to scroll to the tip number 7 and see what that is. So the multi way of showing content, I think, right, it's underused. It's we don't even use it because we don't have the time or the budget right now to do it. But it, at some point, this would also go on a blog and be posted and like spelled out as an entire blog post.
Transcribed.
Yeah. So and for now, I know that it's not a ranking factor, but it's a user behavior factor.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
which is like an indirect ranking
exactly.
factor.
Yeah.
But I am certain that at some point it would be a rank factor to have unique images that no one else have. I actually think that already is.
Probably. Most likely.
And if you have, like, if Google somehow can see that you have your YouTube video from a YouTube channel that has connection to your web page via the settings tab, then I think that could also help like tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
And not just YouTube videos, but the right something you produce, like for your own content.
Like a diversification of media, so to speak. So
I'll just call it
multimedia.
Multi ways of doing the consumption.
It's a good term. Nice. Actually, I had a little summary here that I wanted to begin with. We never got to it for some reason. But I want to say, in my opinion, at least right now, how we can summarize SEO in 2020 is basically that you're seeing more user-centric factors affect the page SEO, or rather rankings. SEO is becoming more user-centric rather than self-servicing or robot-centric.
Yeah.
And
think about the users.
Exactly. Think about the users, and it's going to get more and more as Google understands more and more, and Bing, of course, and DuckDuckGo. Watch the DuckDuckGo video, by the way, if you want to know more about DuckDuckGo. Anyway.
Did you know that DuckDuckGo is at the Bing index? I didn't know that.
No, what do you mean?
All other search engines beside Google, almost all of them, uses the Bing index.
Yeah?
So if you search on DuckDuckGo, you search on the Bing index.
I think I've heard that, but long time ago, so I barely remember it.
So we have to get going. You have tip number 8.
Tip number 8. That's the thing, because again, I don't think this is like a huge priority, but it could definitely hit you. And I think it's something that not a lot of people talk about, probably because not a lot of people buy used domains already. But also, it can happen to some people that share hostings. So I think
also you could buy a domain that has been used before, even if you don't buy a used domain.
Exactly. Even if you didn't know, for example.
Actually, the family travel plan design that I just mentioned about, and this they had like when I bought it, I thought it was new, but it had like 14 history. Links, something called, some woman named Jennifer or something had it before me.
That's
like
awesome.
10 years ago.
Well, if the links still pass value, then.
I don't know.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing, because you can buy domains that have and hostings, shared hostings that have bad history. And I've actually recently seen
called bad neighborhoods.
Yeah, I've recently seen people in some of the Facebook groups that I'm in that they complain, actually, for some reason I'm doing everything that I possibly can in my efforts, mm-hmm. and I'm still mm-hmm. not ranking, and people are saying you, because they actually mentioned that they transitioned to shared hostings yeah. with other domains, and people are saying it's very likely that someone in your neighborhood is a yeah. pretty bad person, and
so
Google doesn't allow to rank.
For this one, you should Google the term bad neighborhood in SEO. It's a whole deal. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have the ninth tip, which is the last one. It's when because this is a video about SEO in 2020, I want you to follow something called cofactor studies. They have been rumored to appear a lot in 2020 because for a long time we have been only analyzing one factor at a time, and everyone has been doing huge mega studies focusing on one ranking factor at a time because you couldn't do multivariate or multi cofactor studies. But I've heard that the computing power now is so big. So they have so great computing power now, they can test like how would this factor together with this factor and this factor actually do. So as we always have known, great content with great links equals great rankings. But we also know that there could be at least 200, 300, or even 500 rank factors.
Exactly.
Minor rank factors.
Yeah.
But together as cofactors with all of them.
Think of it as lead scoring, but for SEO. Because if you think about it, actually, this is kind of when RankBrain came out, even Brian Dean and all the big names, this is what they spoke about. Basically, what RankBrain does is it analyzes your content, it analyzes the competition and so on and so on, and it determines in this query, actually, I'm going to prioritize these factors versus these factors. Yeah. So it's very likely that it's making a quick summary of this versus this versus this instead of just taking it at face value. Oh, they have a million links, I'll rank them number one.
Yeah. So we are researching and trying because we can't wait for these cofactor studies. So we're trying right now to implement some social strategies, especially in some niches that would make sense to have social appearances, because we have some clients and even our own sites that don't have any social like a presence because no one has like spent the time on social. So we're researching and testing, like doing some social stuff just to see if, just to make sure that that's not in the way of rankings.
Mm-hmm.
So this was it for the SEO 2020 9 tips video. That. And remember to subscribe for this channel, and we'll see you next Monday.
See you guys.
I have to, oh, I'm going to hate myself if that was the case. No, it was recording because I remember the timestamp. Yeah.